Medical Ministry, Section 5, Warning Against Spiritistic Sophistry. Building on the Rock. Christ illustrated character building by a house built on a rock, against which storm and tempest were powerless, and the house built on the sand, which was swept away. We are living in perilous times. Amidst the changing scenes, with heresy and false doctrines coming in that will test the faith of all, the house built on the solid rock cannot be shaken. But when storm and tempest come, the house built on the sand will fall, and great will be the fall of it. Let us take heed, then, how we build. Let no one build unwisely. The Word of God is our only foundation. Every semblance of error will come upon us. Some of these errors will be very specious and attractive, but if received, they would remove the pillars of the foundation that Christ has established and set up a structure of man's building. There are those who seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, and under Satan's guidance, they prepare false foundations for human minds. Christ's lessons should be studied by everyone. The truth is solid, substantial. This truth is to be presented to all, for Satan will come in with his pleasing sentiments, which make nothingness of God's word and turn aside minds from the truth to fables. Spurious scientific theories. Spurious scientific theories are coming in as a thief in the night, stealing away the landmarks and undermining the pillars of our faith. God has shown me that the medical students are not to be educated in such theories, because God will not endorse these theories. The most specious temptations of the enemy are coming in, and they are coming in on the highest, most elevated plane. These spiritualize the doctrines of present truth until there is no distinction between the substance and the shadow. You know that Satan will come in to deceive, if possible, the very elect. He claims to be Christ, and he is coming in, pretending to be the great medical missionary. He will cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men to prove that he is God. We must stand barricaded by the truths of the Bible. The canopy of truth is the only canopy under which we can stand safely. The true higher education. Human fallacies are abundant and specious. Unseen agencies are at work to make falsehood appear as truth. Errors are clothed with a deceptive garb that men may be led to accept them as essential to a higher education. And these fallacies will deceive many of our students unless they are thoroughly guarded and unless they are led by the Spirit of God to take the grand and holy truths of the Word into their hearts and minds, accepting these as the principles underlying the higher education. No instruction can exceed in value the pure instruction of God, which comes for the enlightenment of all who will be enlightened. Our students must be educated to understand that there can be no education higher than that which was given by the great teacher to the world. We must guard our students from temptation by making the sacred truths of the Word of God the basis of their education. This higher knowledge, the knowledge of the glory of God, is to shine into their hearts, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of men. Warn every student that he must be wide awake. Let this truth be firmly fixed upon the mind by our ministers and by all who in faith are acting a part to rid the human mind of error, that there can be no higher education than that which came forth from him who gave his life, that humanity might grasp divinity, and fallen man become one with God. The teacher who is so foolish as to think that he can give to the students a more perfect knowledge than that given by the great teacher, Christ Jesus, is ignorant of what constitutes the higher education. Truth strengthens the understanding. The Word of God, regarded and studied as it should be, will give light and knowledge. Its perusal will strengthen the understanding. By contact with the purest, most lofty truths, the mind will be enlarged, the taste refined. We are dependent on the Bible for a knowledge of the early history of our world, of the creation of man, and of his fall. Remove the Word of God, and what can we expect than to be left to fables and conjectures, and to that enfeebling of the intellect which is the sure result of entertaining error? We need the authentic history of the origin of the earth, of the fall of the covering cherub, and of the introduction of sin into our world. Without the Bible, we should be bewildered by false theories. The mind would be subjected to the tyranny of superstition and falsehood. But having in our possession an authentic history of the beginning of our world, we need not hamper ourselves with human conjectures and unreliable theories. Wherever Christians are, they may hold communion with God, and they may enjoy the intelligence of sanctified science. Their minds may be strengthened, even as Daniel's was. God gave him knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Mental effect of receiving error. The mind in which error has once taken possession can never expand freely to truth, even after investigation. The old theories will claim recognition. The understanding of things that are true and elevated and sanctifying will be confused. Superstitious ideas will enter the mind to mingle with the true, and these ideas are always debasing in their influence. Christian knowledge bears its own stamp of unmeasured superiority in all that concerns the preparation for the future immortal life. It distinguishes the Bible reader and believer who has been receiving the precious treasures of truth from the skeptic and the believer in pagan philosophy. Cleave to the Word, it is written. Cast out of the mind the dangerous, obtrusive theories which, if entertained, will hold the mind in bondage so that the man shall not become a new creature in Christ. The mind must be constantly restrained and guarded. It must be given as food that only which will strengthen the religious experience. The church is Christ's fortress. The church is Christ's fortress in a revolted world, and it must be strictly guarded against the enemy's wily arts. In it, no laws are to be acknowledged but the laws of God. Those whom God has set as watchmen are not to look on quietly while efforts are being made to lead men and women away from the truth into false paths. Careful watch is to be kept against seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. God calls upon ministers and medical missionaries to take a firm stand for the right. The severe denunciations that Christ uttered against the Pharisees for teaching for doctrine the commandments of men show the necessity for guarding against all theories that are not in harmony with the truth of God's Word. Exalting nature above nature's God. The general method of educating the youth does not meet the standard of true education. Infidel sentiments are interwoven in the matter placed in school books, and the oracles of God are placed in a questionable or even an objectionable light. Thus, the minds of the youth become familiar with Satan's suggestions, and the doubts once entertained become to those who entertain them assured facts, and scientific research is made misleading on account of the way its discoveries are interpreted and perverted. Men take it upon themselves to rein up the Word of God before a finite tribunal, and sentence is pronounced upon the inspiration of God according to finite measurement, and the truth of God is made to appear as a thing uncertain before the records of science. Work of false educators. These false educators exalt nature above nature's God and above the author of all true science. At the very time when teachers should have been firm and unwavering in their testimony, at the very time when it should have been made manifest that their souls were riveted to the eternal rock, when they should have been able to inspire faith in those who were doubting, they made admission of their own uncertainty as to whether the Word of God or the discoveries of science, falsely so-called, were true. Those who were truly conscientious have been made to waver in their faith because of the hesitation of those who were professed expositors of the Bible when they dealt with the living oracles. Satan has taken advantage of the uncertainty of the mind, and through unseen agencies, he has crowded in his sophistries and has caused men to become befogged in the mists of skepticism. Learned men have given lectures in which have been mingled truth and error, but they have unbalanced the minds of those who leaned toward error instead of toward truth. The nicely woven sophistries of the so-called wise men have a charm for a certain class of students, but the impression that these lectures leave upon the mind is that the God of nature is restricted by his own laws. The theory of nature's immutability. The immutability of nature has been largely dwelt upon, and skeptical theories have been readily adopted by those whose minds chose the atmosphere of doubt because they were not in harmony with God's holy law, the foundation of his government in heaven and earth. Their natural tendency to evil made it easy for them to choose false paths and to doubt the reliability of both the Old and the New Testament's records and history. Poisoned with error themselves, they have watched every opportunity to sow the seeds of doubt in other minds. Nature is exalted above the God of nature, and the simplicity of faith is destroyed, for the foundation of faith is made to appear uncertain. Befogged in skepticism, the minds of those who doubt are left to beat on the rocks of infidelity. A right knowledge of God. I have a message to bear to those who feel sure that they are prepared to do medical missionary work. Do those engaged in this work realize that we are nearing the end of this earth's history and that we should understand fully the work before us? The very first thing that medical missionaries need to do is to gain a right conception of God, not a conception based on their own human judgment, but a conception based on a constant study of God's Word and of the character and life of Christ. God's Word and His works contain the knowledge of Himself that He has seen fit to reveal to us. We may understand the revelation that He has thus given of Himself, but it is with fear and trembling, and with a sense of our own sinfulness, that we are to take up this study, not with a desire to try to explain God, but with a desire to gain that knowledge which will enable us to serve Him more acceptably. Let no one venture to explain God. Human beings cannot explain themselves, and how then dare they venture to explain the Omniscient One? Satan stands ready to give such ones false conceptions of God. To the curious, I bear the message that God has instructed me not to frame answers to the questions of those who inquire in regard to the things that have not been revealed. The things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. Beyond this, human beings are not to attempt to go. We are not to attempt to explain that which God has not revealed. We are to study the revelation that Christ, the great teacher, has given of the character of God, that in spirit and word and act, we may represent Him to those who know Him not. Where silence is eloquence. In regard to the personality and prerogatives of God, where He is and what He is, this is a subject which we are not to dare to touch. On this theme, silence is eloquence. It is those who have no experimental knowledge of God who venture to speculate in regard to Him. Did they know more of Him, they would have less to say about what He is. The one who in the daily life holds closest communion with God and who has the deepest knowledge of Him realizes most keenly the utter inability of human beings to explain the Creator. God always has been. He is the great I Am. The psalmist declares, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." He is the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. "I am the Lord, I change not," he declares. With him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is infinite and omnipresent. No words of ours can describe His greatness and majesty. The simplicity of Christ's teaching. The Bible teaching of God is the only teaching that it is safe for human beings to follow. We are to regulate our faith by a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." The knowledge of Himself that God desires us to gain from His Word will, if brought into the daily life, make men and women strong to resist evil and fit them to represent Him. We need to study the simplicity of Christ's teachings. He urges the need of prayer and humility. These are our safeguards against the erroneous reasoning by which Satan seeks to lead us to turn aside to other gods and to accept misleading theories, clothed by him in garments of light. A man who is spiritually blind is easily led by those who improve every favorable opportunity to advance theories and conjectures regarding God. The one deceived by Satan imparts to a fellow being the new light that he supposes he has received, as Eve placed the forbidden fruit in the hand of Adam. Unenlightened heathen are in no worse condition spiritually than is the man who has known the truth but has accepted error. Resisting the enemy. Satan presents his theories cautiously at first, and if he sees that his efforts are successful, he brings in theories that are still more misleading, seeking to lead men and women away from the foundation principles that God designs shall be the safeguards of his people. Let not our medical missionary workers accept theories that God has not given to anyone. God will not excuse men for teaching theories that Christ has not taught. He calls upon his army of workers to fall into line, taking their stand under the banner of truth. He warns them to beware of occupying their time in the discussion of matters that God has not authorized any human being to discuss. Let us put on every piece of the Christian armor and steadfastly resist the enemy. We shall have to meet fallen angels and the prince of the powers of darkness. Satan is by no means asleep. He is wide awake and is playing the game of life for the souls of the people of God. He will come to them with flattery of all kinds in the hope of leading them to swerve from their allegiance. He desires to call their attention from the real issues to false theories. A call to awake. Ministers and physicians, sound an alarm. Call upon the people of God to be true and faithful. Be on your guard. Remember that as you cooperate with God, you have as your helpers angels that excel in strength. Accept not the theories advanced by those who are not standing on the true foundation, those who are charmed with that of which they do not know the true meaning. Wake up, my brethren, wake up and lift the danger signal. Sound the warning. Let no man persuade you to accept theories that are opposed to the truths of God's word. The servants of God have a solemn message to bear to this fallen, sin-cursed world. They are to hold aloft the banner on which is inscribed the words, "The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." God revealed in His Word and His works. Let no one teach things that the Redeemer, He who owns man, body, soul, and spirit, has not taught. We need not any fanciful teaching regarding the personality of God. What God desires us to know of Him is revealed in His Word and His works. The beautiful things of nature reveal His character and His power as Creator. They are His gift to the race, to show His power and to show that He is a God of love. But no one is authorized to say that God Himself in person is in flower or leaf or tree. These things are God's handiwork, revealing His love for mankind. But to take the works of God and represent them as being God is a fearful misrepresentation of Him. This representation I was called upon to meet at the beginning of my work, when in my youth the Lord commissioned me to go forth and proclaim what He should command me to proclaim. And as the Lord shall direct me, I must now do what I can to counteract all such teaching and the theories which lead to such views. Those who hold these theories do not know whither their feet are tending. What we most need is an experimental knowledge of God as He is revealed in His Word. Such knowledge would enable us to see our imperfection of character and our ignorance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Conjectures regarding God. Human talents and human conjecture have tried by searching to find out God. Many have trodden this pathway. The highest intellect may tax itself until it is wearied out in conjectures regarding God, but the efforts will be fruitless, and the fact will remain that man by searching cannot find out God. This problem has not been given us to solve. All that man needs to know and can know of God has been revealed in the life and character of His Son, the Great Teacher. As we learn more and more of what man is, of what we ourselves are in God's sight, we shall fear and tremble before Him. Is man born a king? To those who would represent every man as born a king, to those who would make no distinction between the converted and the unconverted, to those who are losing their appreciation of their need of Christ as their Savior, I would say, think of yourselves as you have been during the period of your existence. Would it be pleasant or agreeable for you to contemplate feature after feature of your life work in the sight of Him who knows every thought of man and before whose eyes all man's doings are as an open book? Peril in vanity. I call upon all who are engaged in the service of God to place themselves fully on Christ's side. There are dangers on the right hand and on the left. Our greatest danger will come from men who have lifted up their souls unto vanity, who have not heeded the words of warning and reproof sent them by God. As such men choose their own will and way, the tempter, clothed in angel robes, is close beside them, ready to unite his influence with theirs. He opens to them delusions of a most attractive character, which they present to the people of God. Some of those who listen to them will be deceived and will work in dangerous lines. The Lord calls. Will men and women hear His voice? He gives the warning. Will they heed it? Will they listen to the last message of mercy to a fallen world? Will they accept Christ's yoke and learn from Him His meekness and lowliness? Speculation regarding God's personality. Your knowledge of God and of His attributes has been lessened since you have begun to theorize regarding His nature and prerogatives. The Church is now engaged in a warfare that will increase in intensity on the very point on which you have been misled. Not one pillar of our faith is to be moved. Not one line of revealed truth is to be replaced by new and fanciful theories. In clear lines, truth has been given us. Under the guidance of God, books have been prepared which state clearly the truth for this time. If you will not believe these evidences, neither would you believe if one rose from the dead. You must make thorough work for repentance. Come before God in humiliation and contrition. There must be harmonious working among God's people. We must know who is going to follow the light. If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. Subtle theories regarding God. Let no one beguile you into the belief that God is an essence pervading nature. Such an idea is a specious delusion. Let all be on guard against such suppositions. These subtle theories, clothed in beautiful garments, prepare the way for greater errors, which, if accepted, will lead even conscientious believers in the truth away from their steadfastness to false doctrines. From time to time, we need unitedly to examine the reasons of our faith. It is essential that we study carefully the truths of God's Word, for we read that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, demons. We are in grave danger when we lightly regard any truth, for then the mind is opened to error. We must take heed how and what we hear. We need not seek to understand the arguments that men offer in support of their theories, when it may be readily discerned that these theories are not in harmony with the Scriptures. Some who think that they have scientific knowledge are, by their interpretations, giving wrong ideas both of science and of the Bible. Let the Bible decide every question that is essential to man's salvation. Restraint and moral control destroyed. We are not called upon to enter into controversy with those who hold false theories. Controversy is unprofitable. Christ never entered into it. "It is written," is the weapon used by the world's Redeemer. Let us keep close to the Word. Let us allow the Lord Jesus and His messengers to testify. We know that their testimony is true. Christ is over all the works of His creation. In the pillar of fire, He guided the children of Israel, His eyes seeing past, present, and future. He is to be recognized and honored by all who love God. His commandments are to be reverenced and cherished and obeyed. They are to be the controlling power in the lives of His people. The tempter comes with the supposition that Christ has removed His seat of honor and power into some unknown region, and that men need no longer to be inconvenienced by exalting His character and obeying His law. Human beings are to be a law unto themselves, he declares. The sophistries he brings in discount and make nothing of God. Restraint and moral control in the human family are destroyed. Restraint upon vice grows more and more feeble. The world loves not, fears not God. And those who do not love or fear God soon lose all sense of obligation to one another. They are without God and without hope in the world. Not a thread of pantheism. From Christ, all truth radiates. Apart from Christ, science is misleading and philosophy is foolishness. Those who are separated from the Savior will advance theories which originate with the wily foe. Christ's life stands out as the contrast of all false science, all erroneous theories, all misleading methods. Pretenders will arise with theories that have no foundation in the Word of God. We are to hold aloft the banner bearing the inscription, the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus. We are to hold the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. Let no one attempt to dilute truth with a mixture of sophistry. Let no one attempt to tear down the foundation of our faith or to spoil the pattern by bringing into the web threads of human devising. Not one thread of pantheism is to be drawn into the web. Sensuality, ruinous to soul and body, is always the result of drawing these threads into the web. The issue foreseen. I have been warned, 1890, that henceforth we shall have a constant contest. Science, so-called, and religion will be placed in opposition to each other, because finite men do not comprehend the power and greatness of God. These words of Holy Writ were presented to me. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. This will surely be seen among the people of God, and there will be those who are unable to perceive the most wonderful and important truths for this time, truths which are essential for their own safety and salvation, while matters that are in comparison as the merest atoms, matters in which there is scarcely a grain of truth, are dwelt upon and are magnified by the power of Satan so that they appear of the utmost importance. The moral sight of these men is diseased. They do not feel their need of the heavenly anointing that they may discern spiritual things. They think themselves too wise to err. Men who have not a daily experience in the things of God will not move wisely in dealing with sacred responsibilities. They will mistake light for error, and specious error they will pronounce light, mistaking phantoms for realities, and realities for phantoms, calling a world an atom and an atom a world. They will fall into deceptions and delusions that Satan has prepared as concealed nets to entangle the feet of those who think they can walk in their human wisdom without the special grace of Christ. Jesus wants men to see not men as trees walking, but all things clearly. There is only one remedy for the sinful soul, and unless it is received, men will accept one delusion after another until their senses are perverted. Morality inseparable from religion. Morality cannot be separated from religion. Conservative tradition received from educated men and from the writings of great men of the past are not all a safe guide for us in these last days. For the great struggle before us is such as the world has never seen. The brethren who have not acted a part in this work in the past need to move with far greater caution in regard to that which they accept and that which they refuse. They need to penetrate much deeper than their limited spiritual knowledge or their present habits or opinions would lead them to do. All these may need reforming. We are not one of us safe, even with past experience in the work, and certainly are not safe if we have not had that experience, unless we live as seeing Him who is invisible. Daily, hourly, we must be actuated by the principles of Bible truth, righteousness, mercy, and the love of God. He who would have moral and intellectual power must draw from the divine source. At every point and decision, inquire, is this the way of the Lord? With your Bibles open before you, consult sanctified reason and a good conscience. Your heart must be moved, your soul touched, your reason and intellect awakened by the Spirit of God. The holy principles laid down in His Word will give light to the soul. I tell you, my brethren, our true source of wisdom and virtue and power is in the cross of Calvary. Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He says, without me ye can do nothing. Jesus is the only sure guarantee for intellectual success and advancement. Speculation regarding the future life. There are men today who express their belief that there will be marriages and births in the new earth, but those who believe the Scriptures cannot accept such doctrines. The doctrine that children will be born in the new earth is not a part of the sure word of prophecy. The words of Christ are too plain to be misunderstood. They should forever settle the question of marriages and births in the new earth. Neither those who shall be raised from the dead, nor those who shall be translated without seeing death, will marry or be given in marriage. They will be as the angels of God, members of the royal family. Preach the word. I would say to those who hold views contrary to this plain declaration of Christ, upon such matters, silence is eloquence. It is presumption to indulge in suppositions and theories regarding matters that God has not made known to us in His Word. We need not enter into speculation regarding our future state. To my ministering brethren, I would say, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Do not bring to the foundation wood and hay and stubble, your own surmisings and speculations which can benefit no one. Christ withheld no truths essential to our salvation. Those things that are revealed are for us and our children, but we are not to allow our imagination to frame doctrines concerning things not revealed. The Lord has made every provision for our happiness in the future life, but He has made no revelations regarding these plans, and we are not to speculate concerning them. Neither are we to measure the conditions of the future life by the conditions of this life. Deception regarding spiritual affinity. You have been represented to me as being in great peril. Satan is on your track, and at times he has whispered to you pleasing fables and has shown you charming pictures of one whom he represents as a more suitable companion for you than the wife of your youth, the mother of your children. Satan is working stealthily, untiringly to effect your downfall through his specious temptations. He is determined to become your teacher, and you need now to place yourself where you can get strength to resist him. He hopes to lead you into the mazes of spiritualism. He hopes to wean your affections from your wife and to fix them upon another woman. He desires that you shall allow your mind to dwell upon this woman, until through unholy affection she becomes your God. The enemy of souls has gained much when he can lead the imagination of one of Jehovah's chosen watchmen to dwell upon the possibilities of association in the world to come with some woman whom he loves and of their raising up a family. We need no such pleasing pictures. All such views originate in the mind of the tempter. We have the plain assurance of Christ that in the world to come, the redeemed neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. It is presented to me that spiritual fables are taking many captive. Their minds are sensual, and unless a change comes, this will prove their ruin. To all who are indulging these unholy fancies, I would say, stop. For Christ's sake, stop right where you are. You are on forbidden ground. Repent, I entreat of you, and be converted. A counterfeit heaven. How untiringly God has kept guard over His church. Shall we not act our part that He may give us the grace that will enable us to attain to perfection of Christian character? Do not allow yourself to be led to think that you will live in heaven while in this fallen world. Those who think this keep their minds on the strain for some wonderful experience that will waft their souls into a refined spiritual atmosphere. But this is not the true science of Christian experience. When they suppose they have reached spiritual heights of refinement, Satan, in the garb of an angel of light, presents to them indulgences in which he makes it appear there is no sin. I would warn you against these apparently refined doctrines, which say that sin is not sin, and teach the possibility of living a spiritualistic life above the grossness of sin. I write this because there are minds entering into temptation in regard to this refined science of spiritualistic attainments. You will meet this science, and you will hardly know how to handle it. We have reached the perils of the last days, when some, yes, many, shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Be cautious in regard to what you read and how you hear. Take not a particle of interest in spiritualistic theories. Satan is waiting to steal a march upon everyone who allows himself to be deceived by his hypnotism. He begins to exert his power over them just as soon as they begin to investigate his theories. Neglecting fundamental truths for idle speculation. In the Word of God are grand truths that are worthy of intense study. Shall we neglect these great fundamental truths in order that we may enter into speculation over what has not been clearly revealed? I am frequently asked, regarding some theoretical doctrine, questions that I feel no liberty to answer. I sometimes reply to those who ask me such questions, "You have the Word. If the Lord desired you to know in regard to this matter, you would find your knowledge in the Word of God, and would not need to ask me. If we reach heaven, we may then understand the matters that are not clear to us now." Let us study the great truths of the Scriptures. They are sufficient to tax our minds to their utmost capacity. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Oh, do we know God as we should? What comfort, what joy we should have if we were to learn daily the lessons He desires us to learn. We must know Him by an experimental knowledge. It will be profitable for us to spend more time in secret prayer, in becoming personally acquainted with our Heavenly Father. In our weakness, we may come to Him and ask Him to impart to us an understanding of what He will do for us in separating from us everything that is unlike His own character. Honoring superstition and falsehood. I pray that our people may not fall victims to the snares that Satan has laid to entrap unwary souls. But even now, many are bewildered. All need to be independent Bible students. I am writing words of warning, that no one need be deceived by the enemy, to lead others into crooked paths. I have carried a heavy burden because of the publication of blank. I think that the Lord has permitted this matter to develop in order to arouse our people to understand and value aright the fundamental truths that, as a people, we have received from the Word of God. We must know that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Our Father bids us call to mind the former days, after which, when we were illumined, we endured a great fight of affliction. I have received most precious assurances that our early experiences were of God. I wish that every one of our people might know, as I know, of the sure and certain way in which the Lord led us in times past. It causes me great sorrow of heart to see that there are among our workers those who do not realize the dangerous character of the doctrines that some are entertaining regarding God. I know how dangerous these sentiments are. Before I was 17 years old, I had to bear testimony against them before large companies. Now, false interpretations are being given to the truths of the Word in order that deluded minds may be pleased. Error is made to appear as truth. I am instructed to bear a decided testimony against these misleading theories. I am charged with a message opposed to the heresies and sophistries that are being propagated by Satan. The life and teachings of our Lord give no place to these cunningly devised fables. The loss of eternal life is the price that must be paid for continuing to honor superstition and falsehood above the Word of God, making His teaching of no effect. The character and power of God are revealed by the works of His hands. In the natural world are to be seen evidences of God's love and goodness. These tokens are given to call attention from nature to nature's God, that His eternal power and Godhead may be understood.